And welcome now to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and I mentioned this radio experiment we're going to be trying here. And win or lose is going to be a wonderful thing because it involves some real veterans in terms of the acting world. And they are Jim and Brenda DeVita. Let's introduce them first. Welcome to the midday.
Hi.
Hi, hello.
Thanks for having us here.
Great to have you here. And okay to say that you're associated in the minds of most Wisconsinites with American Players Theater? Is that fair to say? I mean, you have many other things you do, too.
How many years has it been now?
22 years. 23rd season coming up.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess you could say we're associated with it. We're still here.
That's the habit.
I didn't want to cut you out of anything, you know, that seemed, you know, first to you. But to us, we're thinking of American Players Theater and all those fantastic performances and the versatility that you have displayed over the many years with the other distinguished thespians out there in Spring Green. But how many musical gigs have you had?
Oh, my God. We have a couple we don't speak about.
Yes, but there's one we don't talk. We can't say it.
I know how it is.
Anymore,
yes,
but
yes.
We don't.
I used to be in musicals a lot when I was an actor.
You?
Yeah, when I was an actor, that's a lot of what I did. But that was nothing like what we're doing here. Reading an orchestral score is not the same thing.
No, but Brenda has great musical talent, wonderful voice. I cannot carry a tune in a bucket, as they say. I can barely keep time. So, but I love music. I love being around it. It's for an opportunity like this to be able to be around great musicians and hear music is quite wonderful for me.
Well, the musicians you're going to be around this weekend, by which I mean Saturday night at 8 and Sunday afternoon at 2:30, those musicians are the Madison Symphony, and they're doing, again, something from this collection that the Chicago Symphony has begun called Beyond the Score. It's an interesting, actually fascinating, I think it'll be a very popular concept. And Beyond the Score this weekend is going to feature one of the great orchestral colorists, by the name of Rimsky-Korsakov, who was a very influential teacher of Russian composers, and not just Russians, but other composers to come. And one of his masterpieces, not bad for a guy who was a Navy officer, was Scheherazade. And that's what you've gotten yourselves involved with.
That's true.
So how does that work? What's the concept? Because it's an orchestral piece.
Well, it's wonderful. I mean, I basically play the character of Rimsky-Korsakov, and Brenda is playing
the storyteller. I tell the stories. I tell stories like Scheherazade does in the story.
I think it talks about. I don't. You know, I'm not. As I say, don't know a lot about music, but it's wonderful to be able to see, as you just called him, a colorist.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Yes,
he talks about that in the. I'm looking at it as a storyteller, and music tells a story to me. I'm used to doing it with words. But it's kind of great to be able to juxtapose the two next to each other. Him talking about his experiences in Rio de Janeiro and seeing colors so unlike Russia. You know, when we think of Russia, what are the colors and tones you think of? And then he went around the Cape Horn to the Pacific and saw all these amazing colors and people. And he brings that back with him to Russia, and then he finds an expression for it in his music. So I just thought it was wonderful to find out.
Yeah, and I love the idea because everything that I ever enter into with any kind of commitment or any kind of when I'm watching something or listening to something is the story. You know, I'm always looking for a story. So when I listen to music, I'm always making up my own stories that probably have nothing to do
with which is what you're often invited to do. I mean, a lot of composers, I was mentioning Chopin the other day, said they wanted nothing to do with storytelling as such in their music, that whatever story you got out of it, that's up to you.
So I love that we get, but I think that's fantastic, we get a story of the man who wrote this, as well as the idea that he wanted nothing to do with stories either, and ultimately he wanted you to feel and see and experience all kinds of things they've never felt or seen before. He doesn't do beginning, middle, and end kind of stories, which I love. Pastiche, you know, one thing after another.
It's kind of more like get into the feel of the time and the place and the people kind of story. That's certainly true of Scheherazade. It's not a play-by-play.
Right.
It's like enter this world and savor it.
Yeah, and kind of the kind of lushness of it. I love it.
It seems like it kind of wants to provoke your imagination to make up your own story. I mean, he actually says that. In
much like radio. at its best.
Yeah.
You mentioned, Jim, that you are Rimsky-Korsakov. Are you interwoven with the music, or is there there's a first part of this concert where we kind of get the background? Is that how it works?
It's kind of like he starts almost with the story of Scheherazade, but then we hear some of the music of the orchestra, and then he also goes on to explain a little bit of what he meant by that. what I was doing with this piece was X, Y, and Z. What I meant to do with this was that. Listen to how I play with the scales here, and it's kind of fascinating to see what the thought process that he had behind his music, which is completely unknown to someone like myself just listening to it. And for me, it makes me appreciate the music, you know, a great deal more. Not that it's specific to what my imagination, you know, can do what it wants with it, but still I know some of the thoughts that are behind it. It's pretty fascinating.
How it was assembled.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we take a deep breath here. Are we ready for this experiment now?
Because yes.
We're going to give you a sample of what this production is going to sound like with some of the narration and the character interwoven with a bit of the music. And so if everyone is ready, we'll raise the curtain. And here we go with Jim and Brenda DeVita and Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade.
Once upon a time, there was a king, a great king, the Sultan Shakriar. Convinced that all women were perfidious and faithless, he vowed every day to marry a new wife and then immediately to execute her, until in the end, no one would be left to be his queen.
But the Sultana, Scheherazade, outwitted the cruel Sultan and saved her own life and the lives of others by fascinating Shakriar with the tales she told through 1,001 nights, and each dawn leaving the story incomplete until night fell again. Many wonders did the beautiful Scheherazade tell. For 1,001 nights, Scheherazade wove tale into story, with verses of the poets and words of songs. And so, day after day, driven by insatiable curiosity to know the end of every story that she told, Shakriar continually put off Scheherazade's execution until, at the last, he utterly abandoned his cruel plan. Thank you.
Well, if you've just joined us, and even if you haven't just joined us, we are engaging in a little radio experiment here. And I'm pleased to remind you that Jim and Brenda DeVita are my guests for the midday today, and that they're going to be performing with the Madison Symphony this weekend. Just two concerts this weekend. It's not part of that regular subscription series of the Madison Symphony. But Saturday night, that's tomorrow night at 8, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30 at the Overture Center, they'll be performing Beyond the Score. And in this particular instance, Beyond the Score brings you back behind the scenes for Rimsky-Korsakov's colorful orchestral masterpiece, Scheherazade. And you'll get some of the behind-the-scenes sense of it as Jim DeVita plays Rimsky-Korsakov and Brenda is the storyteller. So, you know, we were talking about imagination and the storytelling and what the listener brings to it. But what about visuals for this? Is there anything else going on in this kind of musical carnival, Jim and Brenda?
Yeah, we've just watched the Chicago production. And there are a lot of scenic elements as far as projections and some visuals that are alongside us while we're speaking and above the orchestra. I'm guessing it's the same approach.
Kind of an immersion
for the
audience.
Yeah, I think it's really, if you don't get it through the music, you get it through the visual. You don't get it through the visual, you get it through the words.
We're going to get it to you one way or the other.
You're going to get it one way or the other. You're going to get the story.
Well, let me ask you a slightly behind-the-scenes question from the standpoint, say, of an orchestra member. A lot of times if they're playing a work that has a lot of visuals, let's say it's a musical or something like that, they have no idea or very little idea what's going on stage. Is that the spot you're in? Or you just kind of say, well, yeah, there are visuals there, but we're not able to actually look at them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be able to see them or not.
I don't either.
As my character, you know, at least in the script, I get to gesture to the orchestra at times. I may be able to turn around and indicate. So I'm not sure yet. We haven't had a rehearsal yet.
Yeah, it's so different. I have to be really...
You haven't had a rehearsal yet?
No.
No, this is the first time.
Well, the show's tomorrow night.
I know.
we rehearse all day tomorrow. So.
I have to say that that's the biggest thing about the difference between what we do and what musical people do, which is really fascinating to me, is that we rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and it's like double Dutch rope. You'd like jump in on this. It's like how it feels like a little bit.
Have you... You must have done a lot of shows together, the two of you.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Not for a long time, though. You keep calling me an actor, and I want to make sure I'm really respectful of my actors, who I am very, very clear are, I consider to be some of the best in the world.
Well, you're a director.
I'm a director, yep, but I know good work.
That helps.
I know good actors. But I haven't acted for a long time, but it was really nice to get asked to do this with Jimmy. We used to act together. I got to slap him
years
on stage
ago.
Once in Madison.
Do you rehearse at home?
No, at the Madison Rep one time, actually, in that same building. Mm-hmm. Remember we did, what was that called?
That Awake and Sing?
Awake and Sing, yeah. We did a few things together when I was acting.
That was a long time ago.
When you're doing something like this with music in it, though, are you... interacting with each other at all, or are you just interacting with the music, or how does that part of it work?
We're interacting with the music.
Yeah, more with the music and the orchestra, I believe. And
yeah.
I have a feeling we'll be on opposite sides.
Oh, uh-huh.
And more relating with the audience and the orchestra.
And I feel like my character, it's not really a character, actually. His is an actual character. Mine is kind of like the orchestra is offering up stories and offering up words and offering up
images
and ideas, mm-hmm. Much like Scheherazade did to keep herself alive. Like, just keep talking, just keep talking.
Right, keep that ending hanging there.
Yes, exactly.
And if you want to hear tomorrow night's ending to the story, Do Not Kill Me Tonight.
Exactly.
Kind of the premise behind Scheherazade.
Yes.
Right. Well, on that cheerful note, are we ready for another set of excerpts from this?
This is when we hear Korsakov speaking a little bit more to the music that he has created about some of his thoughts behind it.
One summer, years ago, I visited the south of Russia and the ancient Islamic city of Bakhchisarai. I had never seen such a place before, with its long and winding streets, its shops, the shouts of vendors, the chanting of the muezzins in the minarets, and the sound of praying in the mosques. And this was the first time I heard Oriental music in its natural state, for the streets of that city from morning until night rang ceaselessly with music, and in front of every coffee house, musicians were playing their instruments and singing. ¶¶ In vain do people seek in my Scheherazade one single story that would explain this music. When I wrote it, I had no such story in my mind, only a mass of different images and themes and pictures overheard and retained somehow in the memory. The sea in Sinbad's ship, the one-eyed dervish, the young princess and her beautiful prince, and this festival in Baghdad, which leads, I know not how, into a storm at sea and a ship dashed against a rock with a bronze rider on it.
Then the third dervish said, "Great lady, my tale is most wonderful of all. I too was a prince and treated my subjects well, but I loved to sail upon the ocean, and so one day I took my ships and set out, and we voyaged many days until there came a fearful storm. Cross winds blew against us, and the sea grew rough and wild waves, and we were plunged into darkness, and from the mast the lookout called, 'I see flying fish and a black stone shape that looms towards us.' And the captain wept and cried aloud, 'Now we are all dead men, for this is the magnetic mountain which will draw the iron nails from our timbers, and our ship will be torn apart. On this island stands a dome, and on the dome a statue made of brass of a rider and his horse, bringing death to all who come this way.'"
Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
I'd say our experiment was a success. And I mean, this was the first time we've done this, the three of us like this. And the marriage of these two media, theater and music, here in our FM studio at WPR. But speaking of putting everything together, now you've been rehearsing this, I don't know, at home or wherever.
Our poor daughter.
Yeah, we've taken it with us.
Our poor took it to Italy with us.
Oh, well, worst thing should happen.
Yes.
But what about putting this all together? You haven't heard the whole picture, so to speak, yet.
No, we're rehearsing tonight by ourselves for like 3 hours with some support and direction. And then tomorrow, right, we spend all day working, and eventually we'll be with the orchestra.
Which will be, I hope, a build. I mean, I've never done anything like this, but I mean, from going from the video and listening to the music and talking to each other to today, already I can feel the difference in the kind of, you're part of this kind of whole world of storytelling, which is very different than being an actor on stage saying lines, I feel like. It has a whole...
Yeah, and once we get, you know, as we get to know the music better, we can feel the kind of the tone and the energy that our speaking needs to lead into what's next.
As For
we
sure.
get to, we'll be learning that tomorrow, which is really fun. You can already feel it a little bit.
Yeah, and how you would ever top that music. So that's never happening. So I feel like coming under will be a great thing.
It's a great compliment, you know, to the music. Do you know where the... where the words come from?
No, I don't. This was created by the Chicago?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. I'm sorry. I know the man's name. It's at the top of the list.
It was somebody working with the Chicago Symphony who works with these.
They were doing their script, which is...
Yeah, it makes me want to do 10 more of them. It's a fantastic idea.
It works very well. I mean, the parts seem so natural to go with the music.
Yeah, And to, as I say, to actually have him describe something that he saw in his adventures and then to hear the music that inspired that is pretty fascinating.
I do think that getting to know an artist is always interesting.
Of the actors I've known, for example, yes. fascinating and sometimes dangerous.
Exactly. It's really a whole different world, and I think this is a great way to do that.
Yeah.
Well, again, it's a wonderful thing to have these media, in this case, several of them, collaborating, because you have the Madison Symphony, you have the text, you have the visuals, and you have, of course, these fabulous actors, or fabulous actor and a really great actor director. Have you ever done any directing, Jim?
Yes.
I have. Yeah, I've been directing for about the last, eight
That's years. Right. Sure. Yeah, I've seen your
Richard
name in the credits
Romeo
out there.
Juliet.
He's doing Cyrano this summer.
How's that going for you?
I have to ask my boss. So
I guess.
Keeping him on for another season anyway.
Yeah.
Very excited. I'm directing Cyrano de Bergerac this year with Jim Ridge playing Cyrano.
You know, I cannot resist saying then, and this is not a setup, that there was a fabulous Cyrano de Bergerac done at WHA Radio in 1938.
Really?
With Jerry Bartel as Cyrano.
Really?
Fantastic. Yeah.
You have it on record?
I do.
Oh.
I do. Yeah, it was rediscovered. I don't know, 15, 20 years ago it was discovered. Sure, yeah, I'd be glad to forward a copy of that to you.
Please.
It's great stuff.
Oh, I'd love to. It's a beautiful script.
Well, we're looking forward to beautiful performances with Jim and Brenda DeVita, and they will be again with the Madison Symphony this weekend, Saturday night, that's tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Sunday afternoon, 2:30. And at the Overture Center in Madison with Behind the Score, real insight into performances of Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
It was really fun.
Hope you can come back and do this again sometime.